More with Mo. My name's Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at Juliland.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man who practically knows everything about me, Mr. Richard Avery.
Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
I'm fabulous today.
Now, we commented on this before. We know way too much about each other.
Actually, the sad truth is you know very little about me.
Really?
Yeah, because I keep it all a secret, and everything you do know is pretty much bullshit.
I feel like I feel a little sad inside. I feel like I've confessed and I've poured my soul out to you.
No, it's kind of the way I operate.
Okay, well,
you'll find out all about me at my funeral.
Can I speak at your funeral?
Yes, please, please.
Wait, that will be a moment for me. A very sad.
Start right the eulogy.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be short. Trust me.
He was an asshole.
No, it'll be the intro banter of my show. Yeah. And today, he's not really with me, but he's still here, Richard Avery.
Welcome to More with Mo. Our guest today is dead Richard Avery. And I could just see, I honestly think he's an asshole, and then everybody would applaud. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Well, we've been doing the episodes, the Get to Know You episodes, and they've been very popular, and we've been having a lot of fun. So today, I brought in somebody a little bit different. Not a porn chick. Actually, we've been pretty much doing those with porn chicks. So I brought in somebody that is a little newer to the industry. And he is the new executive director of the Free Speech Coalition, which I am a board member of, Eric Paul Loya.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. How are you, sir?
Very good. It's great to see you guys banter. I was about to start laughing, but I wasn't sure that wouldn't ruin the recording.
No, it's some people laugh, and then I'm always like, yes, I am mildly humorous sometimes.
I was actually Richard, but that's okay.
He's funny.
I'm annoying.
He's a dick. So Eric, you recently, in the past 3 months, I believe, I was there during your interview, so I should know a little bit better. The Free Speech Coalition replaced executive directors. Diane Duke stepped down. Mm-hmm. She moved on with life and, is probably much happier to not be the punching bag of the industry any longer and getting beat up by HF. But you took over for her, and so you've been doing this for about 3 months now. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to take this opportunity because I feel that most people didn't know a lot about Diane. And I had her on the show. It was actually episode 18, and I went back and re-listened to it. And it was a great episode. It was a lot of fun. We're up into the mid-130s now. So it was a lot of fun. So I wanted to let people get to know you a little bit better. Before that, we get into business. We'll talk about that in another episode.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name is Eric Paul Loya. You pronounce my last name as if you're a person from Boston that's asking for a lawyer. So you say Loya. I'm originally from East Berlin. I was born and raised on the other side of the wall, not knowing what was West. And now I live in the West. I lived in London, Sydney, and now in Los Angeles. My professional career was primarily focused around sales. But when I came to the United States, I realized that the advocacy that I did for sexual health was actually very badly needed in this country. So I went more into depth with that and built on over a decade of experience with it. And then kink.com hired me as their director of sexual health and advocacy. And now I sit here at FSC talking about myself today. Very
talking
weird.
About yourself. Now, I wanted to point out, and this is, you're not a very old guy.
No.
I'm a pretty young guy. How old are you?
I'm 29 years old. I turned 30 this year.
And Mr. Richard Avery is shocked.
No fucking way.
Yeah, I think you're going to have the funeral episode of Richard sooner than later because that looked like a stroke or a heart attack.
So on the board, God. I've been the youngest and the least.
I was guessing 35 to 40.
It's because I didn't sleep last night. I was just doing accounting.
Okay. I'm now not the youngest person involved with the Free Speech Coalition, and I feel much better. But then I suddenly realize I'm 10 years older, and you've had 10 times as much experience in life in general. You've done a lot of fun things, and you've discussed a few things of your life around us, and you've talked about, I believe, and I could be wrong if I'm sure, you ran clubs, or you did something with clubs, or restaurant, I forget.
I had when I was 18, my partner and I opened our first restaurant, and then consequently we had a restaurant and four bars after 4 years in Berlin, which obviously was a lot of fun.
I'll imagine.
Yes.
I'm jealous.
Okay, so at the
I've
age
always
of
wanted
18,
to go to Berlin.
19, you had.
I was in high school.
And
obviously.
You were owner of four bars.
Yes, and a restaurant. And a restaurant. Wow. And no, it was really fun because I was still in high school. I'd just come back from being an exchange student in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and where I was the only kid in town that didn't have to go to church because I was gay. I was like, God loves the gays. Wow. So yeah. I was like, I'm the only one that gets to sleep in. Who's holy now, bitches? And no, so don't have a heart attack too. I can't do this by myself. God. And no, I came back and we met and he was in the process. And, you know, I'm a bit of a workhorse. I'm a workaholic. And I was like, this sounds much better than, you know, high school right now. So I worked full time and did high school and finished in the top 15, I think, in my high school, even though I'm blonde. So everybody out there that's blonde, you can still do it.
You can do it.
Wow. But I can imagine school, high school in Germany has got to be pretty intense to begin with, right? It's not like high school in America where it's just a bunch of dumbasses.
No, and like we basically, our last 2 years in high school are you major and you minor. So you basically go into a college-like atmosphere. And so I didn't skip any years or anything, but I finished when I was 20, which is the normal age. Like you start at 7, you finish at 20, or you start at 6 and you finish at 19.
Oh, wow.
And there's like this cutover thing, like whether you're born in the summer or whatever time. So no, it's been fun. And then from Berlin, I went on and I worked in luxury hospitality in London, which sounds very luxurious, but it was quite the opposite. It was sort of like food. Or am I going to go to regulations and buy some toys or whatever it is? So no, it was an interesting experience. I loved London. Right now, I prefer to go there for a weekend or for a week and then leave, much rather than living, because everything is gray on gray on gray.
Yeah.
So
wait, do we give you time off to go do that?
No. You negotiated literally that I have no holiday, and all my European friends are like, "You get 2 weeks off a year?"
Exactly.
What do you mean?
Like, I know.
That's like my, I can use it whenever I want, and then I have another 6 weeks.
It's the same thing like Australians. Yeah. They take, like, Australia's like, I'm going on holiday. Well, then all of a sudden, 6 months later, they're back to work.
Yeah.
How do you do that? They go, oh, it's...
Just like, oh, you know.
It's my America.
Well,
sucks.
I think when you're passionate about something, there's really not ever a time when you're actually truly fully off. It's more about you might be working from a beach somewhere, or, you know. And I've done that in the past. So, and I think there's some really great stuff that's happening right now. So I'm really, really stoked about it.
Do you like Los Angeles?
I love Los Angeles. When Peter Ackworth said, okay, I'm going to hire you, but if you move to San Francisco, I'll pay you more money. I was like, nope. I'm just rather going to fly up and down because I don't want to live in San Francisco. Not that I don't like San Francisco, but Los Angeles in 2010, I came here for the first time. I had met this really hot guy in 2008 who's now my best friend, a sex educator. His name is Damon Holtzman, and he's hilarious. And we met in Berlin. Then we met again in London over New Year's, where I got so tipsy.
Mildly tipsy
that I held my phone the wrong side up and we walked for half an hour in the wrong direction. And I was like, why are we not getting closer to my house?
Wow.
So that was New Year's Day. And then he had to get on a plane after we had some nap time, I would call it. And then from there, I totally lost my train of thought because now I just went to like
about
all
LA.
The way back to
exactly.
That year. Oh, so and then in 2010, that was literally like 3 or 4 weeks after he had gone back from London. He said, "Well, why don't you come over and visit me in LA?" And I was like, "Oh, Los Angeles? Yeah. I don't know. Like, that's not a city I ever planned to get to." And literally, my plane landed. My heart dropped through the bottom of the plane onto the tarmac and said, "So, I don't care what the fuck you're doing, but I'm going to stay here." Yeah. So you're either going to move here or you're going to live without a heart. Yeah. So, and then in 2013, I moved full time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You're fairly new.
I love it here.
I always tell people, like, you got to get here like 3-4 years to get under your belt to really get it.
It's a really curious city because it's basically a country of its own.
Yeah.
Like, size-wise, the traffic. Well, I mean, we don't have highways. We have parkways.
Yeah, the thing about it here is I always tell people, my friends in Australia don't understand this, but there's more people in California than all of Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like,
and less, a lot less land mass too.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people, and I've been here for 35 years, and it's just crazy. And I moved from Northern California, so I kind of went the other way.
Yeah, I love both areas, but Los Angeles just literally stole my heart. The sunshine. I mean, coming from East Germany, we didn't have much. So I'm kidding.
I came from the Pacific Northwest, and I moved down here 18 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I went to school in Seattle, and then I moved down here.
I love Seattle.
And I loved the sun when I first came down here, and it was almost like energizing. It was like this weird, like
it
was
actually
like a solar
is energizing.
Panel.
It is. It's called vitamin D.
But now,
almost energizing.
But no, but I felt that then. Now I don't feel that. Now when it gets cloudy and it rains and stuff, I'm like, oh, thank goodness. It makes me feel good. It makes me go back.
Well,
home again.
We're glad that it's raining because we can finally take a shower again.
Drink some water.
Yeah. No, it's tough times out
I
there
think
still.
Seattle's one of the best cities I've ever been to. Except the weather. If it had our weather,
Seattle
it'd be amazing.
Had the best Pride parade I've ever been to. And since
have you ever been to one in Australia?
No, I was not. I was not at the Pride in Australia. But no, after I mean, even though during my Mr. LA Leather year. So if people actually Google my name, you'll get to know me very closely.
Oh, we're gonna talk about this.
And so I saw a lot of different areas, but Seattle Pride totally stole my heart. Seattle Pride was such a great, comfortable party. It was great.
When I lived there, it wasn't, I lived there in the mid 90s. And so that wasn't really anything a that thing. I recall. Yeah. It wasn't a thing. And it wasn't until.
It wasn't after the Nirvana show you went to.
Yeah, I didn't really know about Pride at all until I came to LA.
Well, the mid 90s were no fun in any gay community anywhere.
Exactly.
So.
So you love LA. What part of town do you live in?
I currently live in West Hollywood, which unfortunately is 30 miles from the office.
Yes.
So everybody that knows LA a little bit, that means 1 hour to and 1 hour fro. So I'm in the process of, fingers crossed, hopefully moving to Tarzana.
The valley, really?
Oh my God, the apartment is beautiful. And actually,
I hope it just has air conditioning.
It has amazing air conditioning.
Because you know in about
Don't
August,
judge
you're
gonna, me.
You're going to be boiling.
Oh, that's totally fine. They have a gorgeous pool. The condo is pretty. I have a bit of DIY that I can do, you know, like put in a wall here and there, do the plaster work,
ooh,
lay some
I like
floors.
This. I like this.
This is what I love about gay men is they move into an apartment and then within 3 weeks, it's like, hello, Architectural Digest. Yeah.
What do you mean? We have to have some good things about us.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of good things.
It's 6 miles from the office. So, and since right now I basically spend 7 days a week in the office, it'll reduce the amount of time of driving quite a lot.
That's nice. I live in Studio City. I've lived there my whole time.
Oh my God. And the gym
gorgeous.
That is really close by. I did like a trial workout and like no West Hollywood gym is as pretty as that. Like the pool that they have, I almost fell over backwards. Not because I slipped.
What gym is this?
It's a 24-hour fitness in the new Woodland Hills Mall.
I was going to ask you where
Westfield Topanga Canyon.
Yeah.
It is, and REI is right there, which means that I can go and get my camping supplies when I don't want to talk to anybody and just literally run off into the Sierras for like 3 nights or something and go hiking.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen for another like 3 or 4 years because you're going to be working 7 days a week.
Well, so if it happens, you can't reach me. So you can't tell me.
FSC's not going to let you live. Leave, yeah, I should say.
We know where you are. We put a tracking device in.
Oh, is that what you did last night? It felt a little weird. Oh, it's very pointy.
Yes.
So you're living the LA life. Do you think that how long? I mean, obviously, I want to know how long you want to keep your job, but how long do you plan on? Is this where you're going to live for the rest of your life, or
Are you asking this as a board member? Like, am I getting in trouble now?
No, meaning
I'm taking notes.
Do you look at it and go, you know, this, because you've lived in many different places in a fairly short time of life. You know, I'm 10 years older than you, and I've lived here. In the time that you have lived in all these places, I've lived in the same apartment complex. Okay? So.
Loser.
Oh my God.
No, that's stability. That's a good thing.
You were 11 years old when I moved into.
You wouldn't have been able to drink by then.
I've been living here longer than he's been alive.
So is this? I mean, is this
your rent must be fabulous
compared to the rest of the building? Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So is this a stepping stone? Do you want to live in other parts of the world? Do you want to continue traveling and doing other stuff, or are you in
well,
LA
since you don't give me any holiday, I'm not going to continue traveling. But no, I LA has stolen my heart, and FSC is something that I deeply. believe in. I believe in what our industry fights for so strongly that it's certainly nothing that I see abandoning anytime soon. So this is not a 1-3 year post. This is, you know, 5 to 7 years when I start getting burned out because of the Michael Weinsteins of the world. So
constant
Lord Voldemort, as I call him. They call me Harry Potter. And so no, it's the only reason why I really moved around was when I lived in London, one of my family members got incredibly sick, and that was sort of the time when I said, okay, career or family, and I decided family, because you only have one of those. And I'm very, very close to my family, despite the fact that I'm gay, so I don't know, my family must be weird. And so I moved back to Germany then, and then obviously the chance to come to LA was on the horizon, and I was like, well, you know, I'm young, I'd be stupid not to, because in 5 years' time I'll look back and be like, why didn't you? So I did. Nice. So, and now I'm here.
Now you're here. Now, we hinted towards this a little earlier, and this was my first experience with you of any sort of knowing who you were or hearing about you. How you showed up on the radar is you were Mr. Leather, and you did essentially, from what I recall, and my memory is sometimes rough, a solo protest. Solo, on his own, meaning solo one by, you know, let's go with it. We know what they mean. As Mr. Leather against AIDS Healthcare Foundation.
I did. It was.
So let's go to the fun part.
Yeah.
Okay, what's up? What is Mr. Leather? Give me the background of this. I just saw you in a certain outfit, and that was it. So
a certain outfit.
A leather outfit. That was... I know absolutely zero about this.
That's okay. The leather contest history for the gay community, or generally for the kink community, goes back many, many years. Was started in Chicago at some point. Me coming from Berlin, I mean, it's sort of quintessentially true that I'd be kinky. That's unavoidable.
Are you talking about like a Tom of Finland type of look?
Kind of
vibe?
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's before I started working at FSC. So right now that's all a little tight, and like the press buttons don't really stay. Like they're just like, luckily.
So you got to go to 24-hour fitness a little.
Yes,
more.
Very much. And not just look, but actually do
work.
And where was I going with this? What were we talking about?
The leather.
Leather.
Oh, see, I got all distracted. My mind started wandering. So the leather contest history sort of goes back many, many years. Long story short, I came from Berlin, never knew anything about leather contests. When I moved to LA, you know how it is. You have a new job, you have to furnish an apartment, all your stuff is on the other side of the world. So I was like, oh, well, I'll do some go-go dancing. Like, great cardio, I get money. Woohoo! I'm actually, despite what everybody thinks, I'm quite shy, like personal space.
Okay, when you meet weird. Eric in person, you would never, ever believe that he is a shy man.
The word shy doesn't come in
at all.
I'm a gentle giant. I'm actually just a big puppy that wants to cuddle.
He's a teddy bear.
I'm not that fat yet. Jesus, weren't you doing something over there? So I was go-go dancing at the Eagle one night, and one of the bar owners approached me, and he's like, so, like, next weekend, we have this fun thing going on. It's called the Eagle LA Mr. Leather. And I was like, ooh, making more money. Little did I know that cost a lot of money. I won my first title at the Eagle LA, which is really my favorite leather bar, or generally bar, actually, in Los Angeles. And then from there went on to win Mr. Los Angeles Leather, which... knowing how much I love this city, for me was like, yes! Then I competed at International Mr. Leather, which we're not going to talk about because I forgot my speech, almost ran over a stage light and sort of didn't win the title.
Wow.
But then my title son is the one that followed me. He went on to win IML. So I was like, well, you know, I'll just bask in your sunshine or something. Wow. So it was an interesting year. And I, because of my HIV and sexual health activism, and because I don't believe in judging others for what they like, as long as it's consensual between adults, I actually took the chance and traveled all over the United States and Canada and spoke a lot about pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a daily pill that you can take to prevent HIV. And many people will think, oh, well, this dude's 29, so what does he know about HIV? But I lost 6 people to HIV. And I'll never forget my first mentor. He passed when I was 18. And he said, don't let this happen again. So when prep came around for me, it was a natural step to say, I'm gonna walk through the parade and throw those pills all over the place because everybody should have some. Mm-hmm. So, and it was a really interesting journey. And that's also how Peter and I connected via King. So, and then AHF was staging this awkward OSHA protest downtown LA. And I was like, so you give people money to protest for something that they have no idea about. So I went to Staples and printed a sign, put on my sash and a shirt and a tie, and I went and protested against them. Wow. Which was fun because the press was
now,
like,
now, this was
you?
The downtown where they all wore the red shirts.
Yep.
Okay. I actually went down there for the protest and found out, and there was a certain time they were supposed to be protesting, and I thought this was going to be a protest. Protests last a while.
Yeah.
The thing didn't last very long. I got down there, and I found out where the place was, and it was like it was already over.
It was the media attention, and that's it.
That was all they wanted was a little bit
of media
attention.
Here's two pictures.
And so then you came out as, you know, I suddenly this thing started coming up and showing up, and I think Diane emailed us or some. Anyhow, it started popping up that this Mr. Leather, and he's doing this solo protest, and I started following you on Twitter, and that's how I got to kind of going, oh, look at this one guy, that's kind of cool. Because we that wasn't that long ago, but pretty much anybody who stands up for the industry, doesn't matter what part of the industry and what we even consider the industry, is still, it's one of those things of going, fuck yeah, you know what, I don't go see this, you know, porn star who makes, you know, a ton of money doing this kind of stuff, going down and going, I'm going to stand up for the industry and I'm going to be the solo protester.
Yeah, not a lot knew about that, but they didn't know as much about it. But I think what's really important to learn out of that lesson is that a single voice can carry a huge impact. Mm-hmm. And every drop sort of creates an ocean at some point. So I think that the, as we're not talking about the industry right now, right? Because this is the personal thing. Mm-hmm. So I just think that there's this great momentum right now that, you know, if we lift that and if we believe in it, then we can achieve so many great things, not just for ourselves, but for all the future generations, because we can turn that moral prejudice that we live in this country around. I mean, I want to be able to go to a bar and watch the boys go dance in a jockstrap. Not that the ABC has to get involved in that, because I'm just like, what do you mean? So, anyways.
Are they trying to stop that?
Oh, you're not allowed to go dance in jockstraps, according to the ABC. That's not hygienic. Don't talk about the bars where it happens, because we're not getting anybody in trouble here.
No. But I just didn't know that was bad. I didn't. That's whatever.
There's so much that's supposed to be bad,
right,
that I often wonder what the rule is for what is good.
Yeah.
What was this Oklahoma legislator that I argued with her on TV, and she walked out of the interview. It was quite funny. I was like, and you work, you're a legend. I don't understand. So anyway, so she was like, you are promiscuous if you've had more than three sexual partners in life. And I was like, I don't think I know a single person that under your categorization does not fall into the promiscuous part. But I also don't understand why promiscuous is a bad thing, but
it's
anyways.
Not. So. No, it's not. So as you mentioned, this is the personal interview. This is the get to know you interview. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be doing a second part. And that's going to be the Free Speech Coalition, where we're going to talk about politics and all the boring stuff that everybody really needs to listen to.
Yeah.
But I wanted
that's actually all the exciting stuff, too.
Do we get to talk about leather, too?
No, leather is done. Sorry.
Oh, when I'm involved, we can always talk about everything. I'm an open book, and that's really true.
So I like to wrap up the Get to Know You episodes with a totally ripped off idea from Inside the Actor's Studio. Are you familiar with
oh,
the show?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think I know what you got. Is that rapid fire question?
Yeah, well, it's just 10 questions.
10 questions.
I'm blonde. I hope they're short.
No, they're
But you're dark blonde. You're not
short,
really blonde.
Easy,
blonde.
You know, it's you.
Okay.
It comes out as you. What is your favorite word?
Chocolate ice cream.
What is your least favorite word?
I don't know. I talk so much, I don't know which one is my least favorite. I'm sorry.
I always think the word I always say is no. Just hearing the word no.
No. I'm trying to think about it. It's probably a word that is so hard to pronounce that I have a really hard time with it. And right now I can't remember it because I probably eliminated it.
I'll never say it again.
Maybe GOP, Republican, and homophobes.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. That works.
Was that one word? I don't know.
It can be.
Just, you know, the most...
They're synonyms.
The most popular answer is moist. What turns... Yeah, moist is the most popular answer.
Okay.
What turns you on?
Ooh, nipple play.
What turns you off?
So my hanky color is orange. So it's sort of anything, anytime, anywhere. So that's a really hard question to answer.
Okay. I'm going to have to look that up on the Google and figure out what the fuck we're talking about.
Leather.
What,
hanky coat.
God. What sound do you love?
Moaning.
What sound do you hate?
Screechy drunk girls in the bar.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
What profession other than yours would you like to attempt?
Politics.
Ooh. What profession would you not like to do?
Catholic priest.
And this leads very well into the next question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, there's so many things. Probably, how did you enjoy that comedy show of those people that think they know what they should believe and whatnot?
Yeah. Very nice. Eric, thank you so much for coming out and doing the show. This is going to be there's going to be a second episode that's going to be coming up right after this one that you guys can listen to. So please make sure you check that out. But Eric, where can your followers find you out on the interwebs?
On Twitter, Eric Paul Loya as one word. Also through the FSC Army Twitter, of course. I also have a Mr. LA Leather page, 2014 on Facebook, of course.
You may as well brag about it.
Yes. And then obviously I have a personal space. But if anybody has any questions, please email me directly at eric@freespeechcoalition.com.
Very nice. Mr. Avery, where can your followers find you?
Anywhere.
Anywhere?
Anywhere, everywhere.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Beautiful. It's Julie Land on LinkedIn.
Find me on MySpace. Find me on MySpace.
Oh, that's right. I'm on LinkedIn too. Oh, and by the way, I'm very often one of the girly screechy voices in the bar. So this was no judgment to anybody. It all depends on how late the night.
Very nice. Good. Thank you again. My name is Maurice. This has been More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox, as some people like to call me. You can check out my Instagram, The Average Mo. And More with Mo is now on SoundCloud, iTunes, and you can listen to it on my blog, theaveragemo.com. Thanks for listening.